views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. Have we got an exciting, amazing show for you today? Today's part two of a story that we began last month on June the 8th, when I brought my guest to the show, Don DeMeneste. And Don has such an incredible story, how to survive the murder of a loved one. Her mother was murdered 6 years ago on June 8th, 2012. And when I was in Kauai recently, I met Dawn. And when I found out about her story, I was inspired to invite her to come onto the show to tell her story, because really that's what living heaven on earth is all about, is to live in a place of compassion, of understanding, of forgiveness, of being able to overcome some of life's most toughest challenges. And Dawn is such an incredible medicine woman, such an incredible healer, that I wanted to bring her on to tell her story. But then I also invited her to be a co-host with me, because she is doing such fantastic things. She lives in Kapa, Kauai right now. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that later, about why she moved to Kauai and what that is all about. But I want to share with you right now her amazing history of what she's gotten herself involved in, as far as every single healing modality that you can think of. Incredible, incredible healer. So here, take a listen to this. Dawn DeMeneste, she grew up in Apple County in the rolling green hills of Sonoma County, California. She's traversed the United States, receiving life experiences in Pennsylvania, in New Mexico, San Diego, Oregon, and now lives in Kapa, Kauai. Dawn received her certification as a holistic health coach in 2015. And she's also a massage therapist, became a massage therapist in 2017. She completed extensive study in numbers of subjects of essential oils, numerology, astrology, theta healing, body systems, soul archetypes, homeopathy, and spirituality, with her soul path being a lighthouse promoter of goodness. She's innately driven by her life path 33-6, and she's determined to make a profound difference on the world. And I can tell you one thing, she's already doing it. Dawn began her worldly experience as a cheerleader, graphic designer, PTSD survivor, a cancer survivor, and has evolved into energy as an energy healer, a Reiki master, divine light, theta healing, certified massage therapist, artist, writer, photographer, self-expression and leadership coach, crystal steward, land healer, and retreat coordinator and facilitator. And now adding to her bio, a radio host. And this woman is absolutely fantastic. And so today, it's an honor and a pleasure, Dawn, to welcome your debut today of being a radio host. And thank you so much for saying yes to co-host with me. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Yay.
Like, where do we start? There's so much to talk about.
Yeah,
like, you want to put the reverse on?
Yeah, we are gonna do a recap. But first, I wanna talk about when I asked you to come onto the show as my guest. Intuitively, I picked June 8th as the date, and why I wanna recap that is because how synchronistic everything is. When we say yes, and then later on, when I found out that that was actually the day that your mother was murdered on June, or when your mother died on June 8th, 2012. And that was such a shocking time. And it began with a knock on the door, shock, disbelief, confusion. You were getting ready for work. I'm getting the chills again. You were getting ready for work in the morning. And so just give us a quick recap. And before you do that, let me remind everybody that's listening to the show today that if you did not see the first video, because it's part two, because we're going to be bringing you Dawn on every single Friday now for the next 6 months as we're going to dissect this story, because there's so much. What we really want is the story to be picked up in the movies and Dawn to enlighten so many people with the power of forgiveness, with her generous, amazing heart that she has, and to really make a difference in the world on a large scale. And so that's why we're going to take this story and talk about so many different aspects of it. And so if you haven't seen the first show, we're going to put a link right underneath this video today, and you can watch part one there. Today's part two. So Dawn, take us into the recap of what took place June 8th, 2012, when the knock on the door came.
Yeah, what a day. I thought it was like any other Friday morning. Get up 6 a.m., get in the shower, but I didn't make it to the shower because somebody was really knocking loudly and my dog was going crazy. And, you know, just to answer the door and then see that it's not someone that normally comes to my house, my brother's ex-girlfriend. And she's saying, "Dawn, we got to go. We got to go to the hospital." Just there was so much confusion. And then my husband at the time, he rushed up and he's yelling at me, "Dawn, get your clothes on. We got to go now." And I just got so mad. I'm just like, it's just, okay. All right. Just got in the car and went to the hospital and didn't know what was going on. Thinking, what, my parents, like, how is that possible? That, why are they driving at 5:30 a.m. and they get in a car accident? And I'm so mad that they would, something like that would have happened. And thinking that maybe they got up early to go sailing or something. And to get to the hospital parking lot, walking up to enter, and I can't even enter. I mean, there's a big group of people standing outside and they're talking, and then they start just, you know, telling me, Bob's in his second surgery. He's almost, you know, like, what is going on? Yeah, there was this guy and he was in front of the house and he was barfing in the bushes and the police were there. And I'm like, what? And I was running by, you know, on my morning run, and saw all this commotion and they had it taped off. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, there was some intruder. I'm like, this guy, he was really tall. I'm like, wait, that's my cousin. Was there another intruder? Maybe there was another intruder. What the hell? I mean, why would there be another intruder? That makes no sense. And then, you know, this lady that I didn't know was like, you know, your mom's dead. Excuse me. You know, I just, I just shrank at that point. And we, you know, my husband and I, we went around the corner and I just am like broken. I just completely broken. Like my mom was so sweet. It was just outrageous. I just couldn't believe it. And all I wanted to do at that point, well, all of a sudden it came to me. I'm like, oh my God. I just had this knowing of, oh my God, my cousin, my beloved cousin that we've always taken care of, did this, like, somehow. I don't know what. I mean, I don't know. It just, the pieces started pulling together, and then all of a sudden, all I wanted to do was talk to the police, and, you know, couldn't talk to the police fast enough because I had I was the closest one in the family, I thought, maybe, to him. I was open-minded, always was a good family counselor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he had opened up to me in the past, but mm-hmm. I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
No, he never suggested any bitterness or anything against my mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, looking back at it now, I go, okay, now I can see some family dynamics. I can see, like, the, 9-year difference between my mom and her brother, and, you know, maybe some jealousy issues with, you know, oh my gosh, my grandma, she bought so-and-so a house and so-and-so a car, and, you know, the sibling rivalry, and, yeah.
Yeah, so now you can actually sit back and look at it from a different perspective, but at that moment, when you were in the middle of all of that, there is just
no
way that
sense at all.
Right, it made no sense. So this morning, Don, I've watched this interview, the interview that you and I did from the show, many times myself, and I just think it's just the most incredible movie. It is. It's the most incredible movie. Oh my gosh. There's so many aspects to it. And so what I realized is that we never even talked about what happened to Cody. And so that never even came up. So we want everybody to go back and look at that other video again so that they can see your story. And I appreciate you being so vulnerable and open and see that this is still very tender to your heart. And we're doing honor and justice for your mother, Candace Watson, and Bob Watson, and also for you to have this all heard. And there's many aspects that we're going to cover. We're going to take a quick break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and you're listening with Don DeMeneste, and we'll be right back.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening or are getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Charlene Hess is a redheaded powerhouse of energy, love, and light. As a hairstylist, personal trainer, and life coach, she empowers people to develop a deeper connection with themselves mentally, emotionally, and physically. Join Charlene the third Friday of each month on The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Get ready to experience your highest self, find your purpose, and discover your calling. You too can become unstoppable, shining your light and sharing your gift. Visit Charlene at charlenehess.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Cornelia Stephanie Show, and I'm with my new co-host, Don Divinisté. Yay!
Thank you.
Yay, Don. So we're talking, before we went to break, we were talking about your cousin. And when I was preparing for the show, I was looking and I was noticing that we never even talked about your cousin. What happened to Cody?
Yeah. Well, you mean in the long run, the short run?
All the rhymes.
Jeez. All right. Well, this is my perspective. Well, okay. So what we know is, yeah, now I'm going to back up. I'm going to just say he's in jail. He's in jail. The trial happened. It was, you know, a couple years later. Which was nice. They warned us up front that, you know, this was going to be a lengthy process and the trial wouldn't even happen for a couple of years. So don't get all riled up in the energy of that. And, but yeah, looking back on things, and psychic perspective, you know, because I talked to a psychic that first day and you know, we knew that Bob was going to be okay. He was coming back and that like, it gave me such strength to know that he was going to be fine. And now he did come back changed because of lack of blood and lack of blood, lack of oxygen. So he came back like, you know, a 90-year-old versus, you know, 68.
Yeah.
So, Cody, going back to Cody, what I heard was that, and what I saw in the house later after it was cleaned up was, you know, there were remnants of things that obviously weren't my parents. And I called the police. I'm like, okay, that does not belong here. That does not belong here. Get rid of it. Like, I don't want it in the house. So, because he was suicidal that day. He was suicidal that night when he came down. But there was some planning that he had done when he was in Portland that made it look like it was intentional. This trip was intentional to cause harm to them. So
how do you know that?
Just from the police and the trial stuff that came out.
And so it was premeditated.
It's hard to believe that. It's really hard to believe that mm-hmm. because of my history with him. I mean that's got to be some like heavy family grudge, really, really heavy. And that's so, really.
Don, I mean, what was your history with him?
Well, I mean, I was 16 when he was born. But, you know, now looking back at it, you know, my grandparents were such loves. So my uncle, you know, is his dad, and he's kind of, you know, rough kind of biker guy. And so I knew Cody's mom. She was beautiful, but she had drug issues. And I remember hearing a story about grandma and grandpa going down to Oakland and rescuing Cody when he was a baby, because she was in a crack house and they needed to go rescue him. And so Cody lived growing up with my grandparents.
Mm.
And then my grandma died in 2000, and Cody, you know, he was a teenager, and then he had to go live with his dad. And so what I found out from Cody later, years later, was that it was very abusive. And but my mom and I, we had no idea that was happening. And so it was like he was in this protected space, but then all of a sudden he wasn't. And so I can see this, you know, just looking at it psychologically, how that could, you know, create some bitterness and like, where the heck were you when I needed you most? And, you know, yeah, but we didn't know, not until he actually opened up to me that year in 2012 and told me some things, you know, that we had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then just, you know, the suicidal part where he was suicidal. He had been looking at, like, we had a lot of obsidian around my mom's house, and he was looking at the obsidian to maybe cut his wrist. And then he drank 6 Robitussin bottles that night, cough syrup. And then he had drank, you know, a bunch of JD and smoked some pot and just like trying to release himself. But, you know, well, he released his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He released his spirit, but his body was still there. And, you know, he's a tall guy. He's big. And so, yeah, I mean, start talking about the other stuff and it's, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, after the trial, so then he went to jail. He went to jail and he got sentenced. What did he get? Like a life sentence, or did he, is it like, well, a, was it, yeah. was it considered so like a mental thing?
I did not go to the whole trial because, you know, I only was supposed to go on a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And, unfortunately, you know, the last day, you know, they kind of recap everything. So that was a really difficult day. But the judge was like, he had just never seen anybody like so non-remorseful, somebody that was just so didn't respond at all emotionally at all.
Wow.
When I was there on the stand, you know, when you know someone, you look at them and you have, you know, a moment of recognition at least. It never happened. It never happened. I would look directly at him and there was nothing there. Nothing. I just couldn't. It was really hard to believe.
Wow.
So
it's kind of like he was dead inside. Like he was.
Yeah, no, his soul was gone. His soul. And the psychics say, you know, that he, yeah, basically Cody left. He did. And for me not to be angry at Cody, the soul. I mean, yes. I can be angry about the situation and, you know, but Cody the Soul, no, he exited. And to like find the compassion and mercy with that bigger perspective of soul contracts and, you know, this is a karmic thing. This is something that, you know, my mom and Bob and him had some divine, you know, soul contract, and that in the big picture, it did serve a higher good with the community. With the community, it did, because it sent a shockwave in the community to love one another that much more, because anything can happen. Especially, I mean, gosh, talk about like instilling fear, you know, a family member all of a sudden attacks, you know, loving family members and with kitchen knives. I mean, holy shit.
And what was it? 97 lacerations. You stopped counting at 97.
I mean, I stopped. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in the movies, it's one stab and that's it. And, you know, he had them all over his body.
So I love what you said, Dawn. This is part of the teaching tool here. Because this is part of showing the bigger picture, and this is part of heaven on earth, because we are living in heaven on earth, and we're
understanding the bigger picture,
Big picture.
Or at least search for it, least search for the bigger picture of what possibly could have happened.
So the soul contract, I love what you said, you know, the community, and we're talking about the community, your town where you lived, a big town, the whole... Redding, California, I don't know what the population is, but...
Like near 100,000.
100,000, yeah, lots of people. And it was all over the news, and everybody was involved. So, like you said, it pushed a collective wave into a shock. It was a complete shock that sent everyone into, puzzling, right?
Yeah.
It's a puzzle. And then to see
gratitude for what they have.
Yeah.
And mercy for what just happened.
So let's you and I talk about what do you think the soul contract was between Cody, your mom, and Bob. So the three of them sat at a table before they incarnated and decided that, you know, as an option, let's...
I think that we have many options, and yes, I believe in past lives, obviously, mm-hmm. and I believe in the other side. I mean, that was definite when my mom transitioned that, you know, all of a sudden she's communicating with me, and I don't have any doubts about that anymore.
Yeah.
My own inner knowing is like I flashed on a time where she was a queen and... You know, Bob was the king and Cody was just some peon, you know, and he got beheaded and, you know, and it was unjust. And it was just like karmically, you know, what comes around goes around. Now, I know my mom had been sick for years. Well, sick, meaning she had carcinoma in the eye area and had been going down to UC Davis and getting checked like every month and had surgery, but it's like a really, you know, sensitive area, you know, close to the brain. And so, you know, she could have gone out that way. She could have gone out like where she was sick and, you know, took a long time and suffering and impact and all that. But I feel like she might have chosen... I'm talking high level here. I'm not talking about choices. I'm talking about super conscious or higher self choices of how we all make them. We all make them, whether we believe it or not. I mean, it's all in the thoughts and what, you know, you put your focus on, and you kind of have inklings of when you can leave.
Yeah. Everybody has, you know, I believe that everybody has an out. Everybody has an out, right?
Multiple outs, yes.
Yeah, multiple outs. And then, you know, you program your body that, okay, a possible out for me is going to be cancer. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I'm going to do this. And these are all.
Right. And like, how does it serve me? Well, I want people to take care of me. So I'm going to go in the hospital or I'm going to, you know, I want to feel love from my family. So yeah, maybe cancer would be a good way.
But you know what? You said it earlier. This is a little bit of a different situation rather than just your own suicide or your own death. It's different because I'm going to label it suicide. I'm going to label when a person, you know, has cancer on some level or whatever happens, it's an out. And we, as divine empowered creators of the truth of who we are, can now, with this level of consciousness, living heaven on earth here now, we have the ability to override that program today with our consciousness. And we can reprogram our bodies today to, hey, the program that I instilled or what I signed up for a little bit ago, I'm changing it up.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm changing it up, right?
Yes. And seek out the people that can help you. And, you know, everything, emotions, energy and motion. I mean, emotions create dis-ease. I mean, it's dis-ease in the body. I mean, I've had pain where, you know, I look it up in a book and recognize what it is. I change my thought and the pain goes away within 5 minutes. So
yeah.
I know that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And this is the work that I do. I, you know, helped people heal disease organs out of their body with the power of emotion. You know, that's what I specialize in emotional processing, because it's so important. You know, I want to say 95% of all illness is emotional. And I even think that, you know, I have no way of proving this. This is my own authority and this is my own belief system that, that, you know, even babies and people that come in with an illness, they bring it with from a previous life and they come in and the karma continues. And this is the part that I think is a really big piece, is the karma that the karmic relationship that played out between you, your cousin and mom and dad. That's something that really needed to be made right. And that's why it's so important today that we're conscious, because we're either, when we're operating from a negative place, we're either creating more karma, right? Or we are operating from a positive place. Yeah. And so that we don't continue on creating the same war, the same drama, the same beheadedness that we've done for thousands and thousands of years. Would you agree with that?
Right. Completely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that this took place. And so now here's your cousin in jail now. Have you ever gone to visit him? Just curious. I'm curious. No, I'm not kidding.
Okay. All right. Sorry. No. Okay. So after that happened in June, I started immediately seeing a counselor every week until recently.
And last month it stopped. Like,
yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. It's been a long time, a long process. Great support. So yeah, it was a couple months after that happened and I needed to go see Cody and I went to the jail and it was way before the trial happened, but I needed to, and I brought my counselor with me. So she was there, and yeah, going in there, I was just so angry. Yeah. That I just, the first words out of my mouth were, you know, what the F.
What the fuck?
Well, yeah, I don't know if we can say that on here.
I mean, we probably can't, but I just said it for you. Seriously.
Well, is it what the fuck? Yes. Yeah, what the fuck? That's all I could say. And, you know, of course, he just started rambling all these, like, you know, undiagnosed bipolar and schizophrenia and unmedicated, blah, blah. And now I'm on medication and, you know, but that's just all stuff that, you know, he was fed that information.
Yeah.
you know, do you think that came from his source? No, it did not. You know, I mean, it's that's just some words that somebody gave him to use as an excuse.
As a label. Because isn't that what our society has done, is to label everybody bipolar, schizophrenic, this, that, this, that.
No, it's like, no, you have fucking responsibility, you know? Exactly. You did something. If I was even, you know, which I see, it seemed like, you know, I was actually having a conversation with him. But what I got to see was it became a conversation all about him. And nothing, I got nothing from it. I thought I would get something from it. I got nothing from it other than we're done. We're done. I mean, we're done. It's just, he was a different person.
He was a different person.
That was an awakening for me. He's not who I thought he was. And now, am I leaving with harsh feelings? No, at that time, I think I even said to him, you know what? I forgive you. And left. And I know that they played that at the trial, and I was just like cringing of what everybody must have thought when I had said that. But I had to come to a point of forgiveness for myself. And forgiveness to me, it doesn't mean forgiveness like, I don't know, it means a greater understanding. Mm-hmm. To me, it means forgiveness means a greater understanding of how this could have happened, and you know, emotionally, psychologically, the motivations. It's an understanding how we all, myself included, I mean, you know, gosh, if I got to a suicidal point, you know, in my life, yeah, multiple times, you know, and just like recognize that. Like, we're also, I don't know, sensitive. And you know, we all just want love and acceptance and, you know, harmony and cooperation. And we don't get that all the time. So, yeah, we all have a hard time. So, yeah.
We all act on our emotions. We all act on our emotions.
Yeah.
And then when we want to act on our emotion to do harm to the self, or to pick up a gun and start school shootings or blow up buildings or whatever, it's acting on emotion. And that's really the truth, because if people realize that whatever it is that they're so sad and so depressed, and what makes you want to kill, harm yourself or harm another person. That's why processing of emotions, really finding out what you're feeling and what your feeling state is all about, and how you feel to heal from your past, from your karmic ancestry, from all the pain and suffering from the past, because a lot of us are empaths, and we not only do we carry our own stuff, but we're also carrying the stuff from people that we're picking up from around us, from our lineage, from our family, from the people that we're hanging around. And so people act on their emotions, and getting in touch with your emotion by feeling is really the piece. And it just makes me think about Cody, you know, how you said that he was dead, like he was numb, and that really it was all about him. Two things come to mind. Narcissistic energy, like, you know, a narcissistic person, right?
Like, I didn't want to hear about, oh, Dawn, and I got hurt, and my finger got cut, and I had to go to the hospital. Well, I'm like, fuck that shit. Who cares? Like, come on. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Whatever.
Yeah. So narcissistic, right? Because they only think about themselves. You know, there's no consciousness for the other person at all. And even though they committed a horrendous crime, but they're just not able to see anybody else in the situation. Then I think about your Cody's upbringing, and I think about his life around, was anybody ever emotionally available for him? When he was a child. So did he, you know, was anybody there for him emotionally when he was a kid, right? That's one part. And then another thing is when you're in the system, and when you're being drugged and medicated, you're being numbed, You're being numb.
Right.
So then, you know, that he's now on medication. He's being fed all of the labels, and now he's sitting
right and getting fed like how to deal with the system and inside the prison and all that, and you know, even how to, you know, be in the courtroom and yeah, you know, for the judge to say, I've never seen anybody so, you know, no showing, no remorse. And, you know, and when he was sentenced, it was, yeah, life in prison and with no parole.
No parole.
Life sentence. Life sentence. People were like, oh, he, you know, he needed to get the death sentence. And I'm like, are you kidding? That's the easy way out. That's like true. Knowing what I know, like we're eternal beings, like checking out, that's nothing. That's not a freaking punishment, that's a freaking reward.
No kidding. That's a great way to look at it. Oh my God.
Like, anyways, not that he needs to be punished, but.
No, justice.
I'm not saying to, you know, let him out. God, no. No. No, but. Yeah.
Don, let's take a break. Take a break. When we come back, what I want to do is I want to talk about two things when we come back. Uh-huh. I know we're totally not going based on our script today at all, because I really love being in the flow with you.
I know, but this is it. This is life. Being in the now.
Being in the now and totally being in the flow. You know, yes. we had a different agenda and we're totally, but I want to send people to your website right now. Let's tell your website.
Okay. Kawaii Magic.
KawaiiMagic.com.
Okay, Kawaii, so KAUAI Magic, MAGIC.com.
Awesome. And when we get back, when we come back, I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about forgiveness a little bit more.
Okay.
And then I want to lighten the load a little bit. And I want to talk about the things that light you up today in Kawaii and all the magic and the wonder that you do and all the amazingness that you do and why it's so important that people get in contact with you and experience the magic that you experience and what you can offer for them. Okay. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm with my new co-host, Don DeVinaste, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yay.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We're talking with Don DeVinaste, how to survive the murder of a loved one. And we've got less than 15 minutes left, and we're recapping an amazing, powerful movie that played out in Don's life. If you haven't seen the first show, part one, today's part two, go to the YouTube link that's right below this video, and you can check it out there. Share it with your friends, because there's so much juicy information and wisdom and medicine shared in Don's and mine dialogue here on how we're sharing with the power of forgiveness. So that's what I want to talk about right now, Don.
Can I interject something? Just something's wanting to come through.
Yeah.
My uncle, you know, Cody's dad, and Cody's sister, Savannah, my cousin Savannah. I really need them to know if this crosses their path that I hold no resentment or anything towards them, and that I wish, you know, I know it's been a really heavy load for Perry and for Savannah, and that their life changed, you know, dramatically with this. And I know, you know, Savannah came home to a note, a piece of paper on the door saying, you know, their house, there's a warrant to search the house, you know, in this homicide investigation. And it just totally turned her life upside down. And I've searched for both of them recently, and I can't find them. So, you know, like, you know, maybe
this will
help.
And
I know, you know, and the psychics, they wanted me, you know, mom's coming through and like hold no, you know, heavy loads. Like they need to know how loved they are. And, you know, hopefully that will come through. Someone will share with them they are so loved, and to just.
And I mean, can you imagine? And see, this is another thing, Don, about you. It just speaks so much about you and who you are and what you do. Because look at your heart. Look at your heart. It could make me cry.
Well, I know. I'm like ready to cry because I feel so bad for Savannah. And, you know, I love her. And Cody was trying to help her before this happened. And he did help her. She was going to school up in Oregon and got her signed up, and you know, she was living with him, and then he disappears, and then he, you know, and she comes home to that, and it's just, you know, God.
Yeah.
You know, the important part is to go on with your life. Like, yes, you've endured this horrible thing, but like, make the most of your life. Like, don't let it drag you down, and Don't stay down in the misery or the suffering. That's not the point of life at all. You got to come to this higher understanding.
Yeah, and that is the point of what we're overcoming, isn't it? This is what we're healing. This is what we're all doing here, to overcome and release the suffering and begin a new way, even though when bad things happen to good people. When bad things happen to good people, because obviously you guys are all good people, and even Cody, you know, bless his heart.
Exactly. I mean,
I mean, this is what heaven on earth is. This is what we're doing here. How we're sharing our hearts. How we're opening a new way of living and being. And that's why what I love about you so much, Don, is how you are right away reaching out to Savannah and just with this. And wouldn't it be something if Savannah came to Kauai to have a retreat with you?
Yes, Savannah,
amazing.
You're completely welcome at my house anytime. Please contact me.
Yeah, where's she going to contact you?
Website.
Where?
Contact me on my website, yeah, on kawaiimagic.com, and I'll fly you over.
Yeah, see, so the power of forgiveness is so huge. Yeah. You said earlier that that forgiveness for you, what it means is, you want to recap that?
A higher level of understanding. Putting myself in the position of the other. You got to walk in their footsteps, you know, like look at it all. And then all of a sudden you'll have a different perspective. And you might not be so harsh to judge, you know, it's important to have that higher perspective and to walk in the other shoes, at least try.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, you know, like, from the higher perspective, we understand that there's nothing even that needs to be forgiven because it was all organized ahead of time. So there's really, from the higher perspective, we don't even need to. But forgiveness is a tool. And when we use forgiveness as a tool, and there's so many ways, Ho'oponopono is one of the practices that people can use. If you have never even heard of Ho'oponopono, look it up. It's really amazing. And I'm sure that if even people want to work with you, Don, on forgiveness, that you could even offer forgiveness retreats.
Yeah, I've seen miracles happen with Ho'oponopono. Yes.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, so, like within 5 minutes, it's just amazing.
Yeah. So it's amazing when we can use forgiveness as a tool. And really, I think forgiveness starts with you forgiving yourself to lighten the load for yourself, completely lifting yourself into a higher vibrational way of living and being. And then that way is how you're contributing to make the world a better place. So we're about to wrap it up, Dawn. We've got about, I think, 2 minutes. It goes by quick, doesn't it?
Time flies. Oh, my God.
Time flies. Yeah. So what do you want to leave people with today's segment? What is it that you want to share?
Optimism, that anything is possible. Anything. Healing from any disease. It doesn't matter.
Tell us what lights you up, what you're doing in Kauai right now. What lights you up?
All right. Showing them around the island, taking them on retreats. Oh, my gosh. Showing them the magic. Magic, yeah, magic can happen anywhere, but especially on this island, it's so high vibration. Yeah, instant manifestations. It's the healing island.
Yeah. And what's your Facebook?
Facebook?
What's your Facebook handle?
Okay, Creative Dawn. Facebook.com/Creative Dawn.
Yeah, yeah.
CreativeDawn.
Wonderful. And did you have a free gift for our guests today?
Yes and no. Put me on the spot.
Why not?
if somebody wants a free, I'll do the Ho'oponopono with the first 10 people. Yeah, just contact me on kawaiimagic.com and I'll be happy to work with you.
Wonderful.
Bless you. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dawn, for being here. People can tune into part 3 is going to be next month, the first Friday of every month, where we capture this incredible story and share your juice, share your magic, and share the power of forgiveness with everybody. Yeah, share that goodness. So thank you so much for listening and tuning in to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. You can visit me on my website at corneliastephanie.com, living heaven on earth together with you. We'll see you next time. Namaste.
All right. Divinaste.
You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love. Your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.